I understand that you were looking at Mark chapter 5 last week. We'll be coming to that in the fullness of time, but we look today at Mark chapter 4, and we read from the first verse. This is on page 971 of the Maroon Bibles. And just a few things to be looking for as we read the first 20 verses together. And as I say, we'll be coming back to this again next week. There's a lot in this passage. First of all, what do you think of this story? Jesus is telling a story here. And as we'll be seeing, there are different reactions to the story. Who do you think the sower is? What is the seed that he's sowing? Has that seed fallen in your life? And are you sowing yourself? Mark chapter 4, at the first verse. This is God's word. And again he, that is Jesus, began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parables, and said to them in his teaching, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground, where it did not have much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun came up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground, and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Now when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, "To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. And when they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterwards, when tribulation or persecution arises, for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Amen. May God bless to us this reading and also the preaching of his own perfect word. Please take your Bibles and have Mark chapter 4 open in front of you as we look at some of these verses together. How's your hearing? Yes, that's right. How is your hearing? I don't mean can you hear very quiet things? If I dropped a pin onto the pulpit here, I don't really mean could you hear it? Or if I started to speak in a very quiet voice, could you still hear me? I don't mean that. What I mean is, how is your hearing of the Word of God? Because that's what this most famous of all Jesus stories is about. Do you see what Jesus says at the start of verse 3? Listen. He wants every one of this great crowd to listen carefully. And every one of us. Look at what he says in verse 9. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. What he means is this. You've heard my words with your ears, but have you heard them in your heart? Do they make sense? Do you know that I'm talking about you in this story? You're one of these different kinds of soil. Have you really heard what I'm saying? And then if you turn the page, when Jesus comes to explain the story from verse 14 on, he's always talking about the Word of God, the Bible. In verse 15, it's the Word that's sown by the wayside on the hard path. In verse 16, the people on the stony ground receive the seed, the Word, with gladness. But then something happens in verse 17. In verse 18, a third group of people, the people living in the middle of the thorns, they also hear the Word. But in verse 19, something different happens in their lives. And finally in verse 20, the people on good ground again hear the Word. But in this case, the Word does its proper work. So that something good, so that something lasting happens. So do you see what I mean when I say this story is all about hearing the Word of God properly? I hope today you're not just hearing and then forgetting. I hope that God's Word is getting to work in your life. Now I want to come back to the four different kinds of soil next week. Today I want to just look at three of the basic ideas in this parable. Because this is what we can call this, it's the story of the sower and the seed. That's what we're going to call this sermon, the story of the sower and the seed. And today, for a few minutes, I want us to think about each one of those words beginning with S. The story, the sower, and the seed. And then, as I say, next week, God willing, we'll look at the four different soils. But before we look at these three things, I want to ask you something. At this stage of Mark's story, is Jesus popular or not? What do you think? Yes, he's popular. Where do you get your information? Yes, if you look at verse 1. Again, he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him. It's actually talking about a most great crowd. Now, from the very early days of Mark's gospel, Jesus has been surrounded by crowds. But this may be the biggest crowd yet. Do you remember back in chapter 3, verse 9? Jesus asked his disciples to keep a small boat ready for him, just in case he might be trampled by the crowd. Well, here in verse 1, he's actually using that boat. The people gather together on the shore, and I think maybe up into the hills. And Jesus is sitting in the boat, and he's speaking to them from the boat, and his voice is bouncing off the water so they can all hear. Now you may be sure his disciples are delighted. Jesus must be a success. All these people listening. Is he? That's where we have to look at the three S's. That's where we have to look at the four soils next week. But first of all, let's look at the story, just to try and cement it in your minds. The story. We need to come to love the story. It's called a parable in verse 2. In fact, it's Jesus' first parable. A parable is a story that's simple at first view. But looking again, it includes me and you. That's a little poem I made up yesterday. I'm not a very good poet, as you can tell. But maybe that will help you to understand a wee bit about what a parable is. I'll just type it out so you can see. A parable is a story that's simple at first view. There's a very simple meaning to most of Jesus' parables. But looking at it again, it includes me and you. We're in the parables. And that's part of the job, is to find out exactly where are you in the parables. Now this is a very simple story. Let's just read it again. Behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun came up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And every one of those people who's listening to Jesus knows exactly what he's talking about. Now, you may not have seen a man out in the fields scattering seed. It's machines in our country that sow the seed after the land has already been ploughed. But maybe you got a few watercress seeds at some stage and you put them on some blotting paper and you put water on them and you're able to watch them grow so you could see how seeds do actually grow. And the thing is, there's not really much happening in this story. The sower sows the seed, and as far as we know, then he ploughs it into the ground. And that's all he can do. That's his job over. And there's nothing happening very quickly in this story. It all takes months and months. There's no spectacular firework display for everybody to see. In fact, some of this big crowd, when they hear this story, say, "What did we come out here for? To hear stories? We thought this was the one who would change our country for us." And all he's telling us is what we already know about the sower and his seed. And so they may have walked away, let down by Jesus, maybe even annoyed or angry at him. What I would say to you today is, don't join those people. Don't just brush this story off. Do you see what the disciples do instead? Look at verse 10. Now when Jesus was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. They don't understand the story either. That's why they have to ask Jesus about it. But they don't walk away from Jesus scratching their heads, thinking there's no point being there. They bring their confusion to Jesus. They know Jesus well enough. They trust Jesus well enough They've seen his power and his love often enough to know that he doesn't say something for no reason. And when they ask him what it means, they get a plain, clear answer from verse 14 right through to verse 20. But they get something more as well. Just look at verse 11. Jesus said to them, "To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, all things come in parables." And that word parable there could mean riddles, puzzles that they can't understand. Jesus explains why he's using these stories, these parables that include me and you. Look at verse 12. He's quoting here from the Old Testament. "So that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them." Some people tell us that Jesus' stories are there to make things clearer for us. But that's not it at all. Instead, Jesus tells stories in order to divide people. Some will hear the stories, but they won't understand, and they'll go away even more confused, because they're not really interested in Jesus. They're not interested in God's kingdom. But other people will hear the stories and they will ask questions until they can understand. They are interested in Jesus. They know they have problems, sins in their lives that only Jesus can sort out. So Jesus' stories aren't for those who are too simple to understand anything else. His stories are for spiritual people who know that there's more to this world than money and power and good looks. I wonder which kind of person you are today. On which side does Jesus' story find you? Each time you come across one of Jesus' stories, and there are three more of these stories in this very chapter, don't just take it at first view. Instead, ask what it has to do with you. So that's the story. Let's look a little now at the sower. Come back to verse 3. The sower. And there's a picture of someone sowing in the way that people would have done in Jesus' day, carrying a basket like that and casting the seed with that kind of a motion out towards the ground. The sower. Verse 3. "Behold, a sower went out to sow." That's a very simple sentence, but it's full of helpful truth. Jesus doesn't say, "A farmer went out to sow." He says, "A sower." In fact, he says, "The sower went out to sow." He only has one job: sowing. Throwing the seed out over the land. And he's called by the name of that job. He's a sower. So if he's sowing, he's doing what he's supposed to. He can't produce the harvest, but he has to sow. If he's found doing anything else, he's not being true to his calling. In the same way, God has called me to be a preacher. My main job is to sow, to preach God's word. And that's where I have to be faithful to God. If I find myself doing something else other than preparing to preach or to declare God's word, then I'm not being true to my calling. And I want to tell you, it's frightening how many things can crowd in to take my thoughts away from preaching. I won't list them for you. But Satan must know how dangerous the seed of God's word is, because he uses 100 ways to get my mind off preaching and onto something else. It's only the sowing of God's word that makes any difference, that brings the harvest. Do you know what God wants you to do, believer? Whatever it is, it involves sowing his seed. Are you doing that to bring glory to Jesus? We were singing earlier, "One thing I of the Lord have asked." And that's the kind of people God is looking for. He's looking for people who have one aim in mind. People who will go and do what God wants us to do. That brings me to the next thing about the sower. The sower only has one job. The sower hasn't made the seed himself. The sower has gone to his master, and his master has given him the seed to sow. Whenever I come here, I try not to preach my own ideas. I don't tell you how I think you should live. I have gone to the Master, to Jesus himself, to receive the word that he brought, to help you to examine it section by section as he has breathed it out, to break it down so that it can enter your lives. Because God's word alone will produce grain. God's word alone will do you lasting good. I don't have anything of my own to sow. I only have what I've been given in this book. And all I can do is try to explain it to you as best I can with God's help. Then it's up to God to take it and to grow it in your lives. It's God who makes the seed grow in the fields. That's why we thank God for harvest at this time of the year. It's God who makes his word grow in our hearts, in our lives. So when you want to help someone else, please don't use your own ideas. Be going to the Master to receive his word, his seed. Be asking him to help you to understand it so that you can sow it in the lives of others. And just to take that thought on one more step, the sower also has to be an eater. The sower has to be an eater. In other words, the sower has to know in his own life that the seed does produce bread eventually, and that the bread does him good. The sower must have taken Jesus, the bread of life, into his own life. There's no use him telling other people how wonderful Jesus is if he hasn't tasted Jesus for himself, if he hasn't confessed his sin to Jesus, if he hasn't been forgiven, if he hasn't given his life to Jesus, and if he doesn't know the power of Jesus and the nourishment of Jesus. You have to know the Holy Spirit pricking your conscience, pointing out your sin, showing you Jesus dying on a cross for your sin, and rising again from the dead to pronounce you forgiven. If you don't know those things, how can you pass that good news on to others? and the sower has to go out in faith. He's throwing little tiny seeds that you can hardly even see. He's throwing them into the air, and he's hoping that they land, on the master's ground. But if you go out the next day to see what has happened, you won't see much change. You maybe even see seed in places where it's never going to grow at all. But you must believe that this is God's way of producing a crop. This is God's way of feeding his people. Keep your finger in Mark chapter 4 and just turn with me to those verses that I read at the start of the service. Isaiah chapter 55. It's on page 716. Page 716. Isaiah 55, and it's verses 10 and 11. And the prophet says, "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." In verse 10, God's in charge of the whole weather cycle that finally brings the bread to your table. In verse 11, God's also in charge of the whole process of someone becoming a Christian through the sowing of his word. So as you or as I go out into the world with God's word, we've got to believe that God will use it to change people, to bring in a harvest. Unless we sow God's word, there will be no harvest. When you think about it, it's something quite incredible that God wants to allow us to be involved in his work of growing new Christians. Do you want to be involved in something that reaches beyond this world, that goes beyond even what our minds can grasp? Well, why don't you take God's word and go out to sow it in faith that God will work through what he says? Come back to Mark chapter 4 again. And we're still just really expanding on what Jesus says in verse 3. A sower went out to sow. And as you go out to sow, will you water the seed with prayer? It's good to go out to sow, but it's good to ask God to help you to know where to sow, to know what to say. It's good for me to know, whenever I come to seek to sow God's word here, that you have been bathing the preaching in prayer. I can't do this on my own. I need you to be working with me. And I can only speak to you today. Each of you can be sowing God's word where you are, where you work, where you live, among your family and friends. To encourage you, Andrew Kerr, the minister in Knockbracken, and I were at a fancy meal last Saturday evening. Before the meal, Andrew prayed that we would be able to speak to others at the meal of Jesus. And he found himself talking to the civil servant beside him about the Psalms, and found out that this man knew he wasn't a Christian, but he knew quite a lot about the Psalms. I was able to speak to the lady beside me, whose sister recently died, about the comfort of dying trusting in Jesus. I said earlier that verse 3 actually says, "Behold, the sower went out to sow." And that's no mistake. Who do you think the sower is? That's right, of course, the sower is Jesus himself. He left the splendor of heaven to be led in a feeding trough, in a byre, to walk the dusty roads of Galilee, so that he could sow the good news that he had come as king to defeat sin and death and the enemy of our souls, Satan himself. And Jesus gives his apostles the job of sowing after him. Every person who comes to hate his sin, every person who comes to love Jesus, does so because of the sowing of the sower. And even now he's bringing in the harvest. Are you one of those who want to stay close to him? Who want to hang on his every word? Who want to trust him with your life? The story, the sower, and we finish by looking briefly at the seed. Let me again just show you a picture. The seed, and that's supposed to let you see, that's the seed as it is. The tiny seed dropping into the ground. Each time this level is the ground, it's underneath the ground, and it's beginning to grow. It's beginning to put down roots. It puts down the roots first, and then it begins to appear above the ground. And finally, a plant appears. A plant that will produce many more seeds. In the case of the wheat that is grown. You know, that's really a miracle. If you go out into the fields the day after the seed has been sown, you won't see this. But if you wait for about 5 months and go out again, this is what you'll see. The field's absolutely full to bursting with grain. What a change! What a harvest! And it has all come from those tiny packets of energy. So small you can hardly see them. I actually have some seeds with me. Some of the younger ones can see some of the seeds later. If I even took a seed out, you could hardly see it. A tiny seed on the end of my finger. That's how small it is. Look how small it is. You can hardly see it. And yet there's enough in there to multiply itself 30 times, 60 times, 100 times. God has put all the information into that little tiny seed. And in the same way, God has put all that's necessary into his word, the Bible. All that's necessary to grow new Christians for himself. So no matter who you are, how young you are, you must know the Word of God. We've got to eat bread every day, in toast, in sandwiches, wherever, to make our bodies strong. So God wants us to read His Word every day to make our spirits strong. And that's why we have these Bible reading notes that have just been given out again recently. These are different notes for different kinds of people, to help you to read the Bible, to give you a daily pattern of feeding, so that you're growing strong in God's Word. The people in our house sometimes miss a meal. I'd have to say it doesn't happen very often. But when they miss a meal, they're starving for the next meal. Don't skip your meals of God's Word, or your spiritual muscles won't be strong enough to lift anything. And remember one thing more. Just turn over with me for a minute to John chapter 12. John chapter 12, page 1048. 1048. John 12, verse 24. And this is Jesus speaking. As one of his solemn statements, he says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless an ear of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much fruit." You see, Jesus isn't only the sower. Jesus is also the seed that he's talking about here, the seed that fell into the ground and died. But God has raised him from the dead to produce a harvest of millions of seeds right across the world, all trusting in Jesus. The question for you is, are you one of those seeds today? Do you love Jesus more than anybody else because he died for you? And if so, are you sowing his word into the lives of others? Let's stand as we come to God in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for this simple story that Jesus told, simple at first view. Help us to see that it involves each of us personally. We thank you for all the truth that we find here. Lord, help us not to be like some of those who heard this story, who walked away puzzled, and who didn't think any more about it. Help us instead to turn these things over in our minds, to come and ask you for help, to ask our Christian friends for help if we don't understand. May each of us want to grow your word, your spirit in our lives, so that we obey you more, so that we displease you less. May each of us want to trust in Jesus, because he was put into the ground and died, so that we might receive new life, so that we might be part of your great harvest, praising you forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We close our service by singing Psalm 126 together. Psalm 126 on page 323. And we sing this to the tune Southwell number 162. I think you maybe call this the sower's psalm. Certainly the fourth stanza is all about sowing. But let's just think about the early stanzas first. Imagine that you're a prisoner in a strange land where they don't even speak your language. But then suddenly God brings you back to your own land. That's the picture in the first stanza. God bringing the exiles back to their own country. What joy, what relief there would be. God hasn't forgotten about you. God is the mighty and the loving God that you believe he is. Praise him. God's name itself tells us that he loves us, that he's faithful. He is the Lord who comes close to save us. And then he promises what it says in stanza 4. He who walks to and fro in tears and bears his bag of seed, he will return with shouts of joy and bear his sheaves. Indeed, may that be true in your life as you seek to honor him. Let's sing Psalm 126 together.
Exiles back as men who dream where we. Then laughter filled our mouth, our tongue did shout in victory. They then among the nations said, the Lord great things has done. For them the Lord great things has done, for us our joy has come. Restore our fortunes, Lord, as streams. in southern deserts dry. And those who sow their seed in tears will reap with shouts of joy. He who walks to and fro in tears and bears his bag of seed, he will return with shouts of joy and bear his sheaves indeed.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.